Vaudeville's famous Klondike Kate became a Central Oregon legend. After injuries to her knee, ankle, and heart, the most famous vaudeville actress of the Yukon Gold Rush needed to get away from show business and also from an ex-boyfriend. So she retreated to the high desert near Brothers and became a homesteader and looked fabulous doing it. So I'll tell you the story in just a minute here, but first let me introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column got started in 2008, and currently it's running in about a dozen community newspapers around the state. It tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. All the stuff that I just love. So what you're listening to right now is the RSS feed that brings you one of the columns from the archives of the newspaper column every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. Today's episode was written on August 14th, 2011, and I'm going to read it to you now. The homesteaders who came to the Oregon High Desert in the 1910s were a bit late to the party. All the really good land had been claimed years before, and all that was left was pretty much dusty rangeland. Most of these latecomers had a very tough time proving up their claims, that is, living on them for the required 5 years to claim title. Among these dryland homesteaders was a single woman by the name of Kathleen Eloise Rockwell, who was one of the most interesting characters in Oregon history. Certainly it wasn't common for a woman to take on the task of proving up a 320-acre claim. Not in 1914, 2 years after women had won the right to vote. But what was most interesting about Rockwell as a homesteader was her personal style. There may have been another homesteader somewhere in the American West who regularly wore vaudeville ball gowns and big floral hats and dancing slippers while grubbing sagebrush out of the kitchen garden, but it doesn't seem likely. And Rockwell wasn't just any vaudeville actress. She was the original Klondike Kate, the most famous and beloved performer in Dawson during the Great Yukon Gold Rush. In Dawson, Klondike Kate was famous for her red gold hair, charisma, and happy-go-lucky style on stage. She was also a spectacular conversationalist. Miners in town for an evening would chuck nuggets up on stage and she'd scoop them up. She'd drink with them afterwards, sharing bottles of wine that cost $5 each, which was a lot in 1901, and pouring her glass discreetly into a spittoon to avoid getting drunk while they talked about their lives. She talked at least one miner out of committing suicide, talked several out of leaving their wives, and even staked a few with some cash to keep them going after they'd been cleaned out by a professional gambler or robbed. But that was long before, and now Rockwell was in Central Oregon to get away. In Dawson, she'd been in her early 20s, but now she was pushing 40. She was still gorgeous, but like any athlete reaching middle age, she was starting to be dogged with injuries, especially sprained ankles and twisted knees. On top of that, the love of her life, a fellow vaudevillian named Alexander Pantages, whom she had met and lived with in the Yukon, had jilted her in a particularly ugly way, secretly marrying another woman and telling her about it by letter 4 days later. He'd gone on to build a vast empire of vaudeville theaters all over the West with his name on them, and every time she passed one of them, it hurt. The only thing that made her feel better was performing, and she toured and performed frenetically for a few years, trying to lose herself in her work. Finally, after an especially bad ankle sprain brought a sort of nervous breakdown, a doctor told her bluntly that she'd have to quit, or she'd die. Rockwell had visited Central Oregon before and been deeply impressed with the beauty of the high desert. Now it seemed like just the place to get away from all things vaudeville, to forget Pantages, to recenter herself. And she had friends there, although actually she had friends almost everywhere among the former sourdoughs of the Yukon Gold Rush. So with $3,500 in cash, $3,000 worth of jewelry, and several large trunks full of dresses, gowns, and hats, she moved on to a 320-acre patch near Brothers, Oregon. She did almost everything dressed as if for a show. Folks would see her walking into Brothers in a dusty but fabulous $400 evening gown about once a week. She joked about the odd footprints she left doing chores around the place. "Those holes are not the tracks of prehistoric bobcats," she once said, according to Ellis Lucia. "I made them with my dancing slippers." She also became an avid rock hound, possibly Central Oregon's first ever. She fell in love and married a local man, Floyd Warner. Rockwell beat the odds and became one of only a tiny handful of dryland homesteaders to prove up a claim that didn't include a waterhole. But it still didn't make sense to stay, especially for a social creature like Klondike Kate. She and Floyd sold out soon after gaining title. The marriage didn't last too long. By the early 1920s, Rockwell was single again and living in Bend. There, she became something of a municipal celebrity. Her home was a half block from the fire station, and she became a one-woman fire auxiliary, bringing hot coffee to the boys during fire calls. She was also a fundraising dynamo, able to shake down almost any business or person for a contribution to a social cause. During the Great Depression, she made gallons and gallons of soup to help out the hobos. She became known as Aunt Kate. Less charitable voices in Bend labeled her "our destitute prostitute." It's pretty unlikely that she was either of those things, although there were a few times her finances came pretty close to the destitute part. In 1929, she was called to testify in a criminal prosecution of Alexander Pantages, remember, her nasty ex-boyfriend. Pantages was accused of raping a 17-year-old girl. He was found guilty, although acquitted on retrial, and died in 1936. There are people who suspect that the trial was all set up by the sourdoughs, who resented Pantages for how they treated Rockwell. She got married two more times, the first time to an old sourdough named Johnny Matson, who'd carried the torch for her since 1901, and still lived and prospected in the Yukon much of the time. After he died, she got married to an old friend named Bill Van Duren. The two of them moved to Sweet Home, where in 1957 she died. By the way, you really ought to go on the website and check out some of the photos of Klondike Kate, including a photograph of the Pantages Theater in Portland from an old postcard, which is just really quite amazing. I have to tell you kind of a personal story. When I was a tiny baby, my parents had a really good friend by the name of Vera Poulsen, who lived outside of Silverton, and she was originally one of Ziegfeld's Follies. I bet she knew who Klondike Kate was. They may even have been friends. But apparently there is something about Oregon, and something in particular about the Cascade Mountains, that seems to attract former vaudeville stars. Well, that's it for today. You can check out all the columns, and check out all of the photographs, and subscribe to either RSS feed just by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon Du Jour feeds, text and audio, are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a computer, or a netbook or tablet too. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Well, thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon, especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode. And until then, well, happy trails!